Well, we continually pray this prayer that the Lord will give us help, because we face a pretty formidable task to take this book, which was written over 1,500 years of time, in the first place to accept that God wrote it. See, that in itself takes the power of the Spirit. It's beyond human capacity. In the second place, to understand what it says at all, considering the gaps of time that have elapsed and the changes in language that have taken place. So just understanding it as a piece of literature is a formidable task. But then in the third place, to make it something living, something that's relevant, something you can take out of here and use, that's perhaps even the greatest miracle of all. For me to come here to this place and presume year after year to say something about this book that will even be meaningful to you or of value or of interest takes the power of God. And I really understand that point. That's why when I come to this study, and any study, I have to pray that the Lord will give us capacity beyond ourselves so that you are satisfied, that is, that something comes through to you that makes it worth your listening. Well, all right, we're going to pick up the threads of the story. We were out last week. These children of Israel had come to the very borders of the promised land. God had given them a piece of real estate, a pretty good-sized piece of real estate. There was only one condition. They had to fight off the people that lived there and run them out of the land. And that happened to be quite a job, because the people that lived there were giants, many of them, and they were hard to deal with. So the children of Israel came up to the very borders of this land God had given them and got cold feet. They looked at the land, they looked at the people that were in it, and decided it was too much for them. So they started grumbling again, as usual. It was their normal position, as it is with most of humanity. And God puts up with this little ratty bunch of people down on the earth, as he put up with the children of Israel back in those days. But they came to this place that God wanted to give them, and they backed away from it. And so God told them, too, that they were going to have to wander, they're going to have to turn away from the land, and they're going to have to stay in the desert for 40 years because they turned chicken, I guess. You have to say that. Now, in the second chapter, Deuteronomy, we're just sort of picking up the thread of the story here. When they heard that from God, that they were, now that they said they didn't want to go in and fight, he said, all right, so stay outside. So go and wander in the desert. Then they decided they made a bad deal. It was a wrong choice. And so now they said, look, we're going to go up anyway. See, I'll read that from this chapter. They repented. Verse 41, it says, then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when you had girded on every man his weapon of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Mount Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that you abode there. That is, Kadesh Barnea was the wilderness that they were in at times. Now here is a very, very important lesson. God was with these people, and he had taken them clear across this wilderness, had defeated all their enemies for them. Now they come up to this final battle, and they get cowardly. Well, it's a funny thing what cowardice will do for people, what fear will do. And they, after all the experience of the past, this fear gripped them, and they wouldn't go on in because they were afraid they couldn't handle it. So God said, all right, then if you don't want to go in, you're going to have to wander around. Well, then they realized they made a mistake, but it was too late. Now God wouldn't let them go in. Well, they said, well, we're going to do it anyway. God told them, don't go. Well, see, they said, look, we sinned against God, and we're going to go on in now anyway. We realized we were wrong, but the Lord said, no, because I'm not going to go with you. You'll lose. Well, they went anyway, and they lost. Now, the important lessons, like we said to you, we've got to say things out of this book that are not just history or intellectual pursuit, but we have to look at things that will be helpful to us. The important lesson here is this. God gives us a job to do. That is, he has a life for us to live. Do you realize that? God has a life for you to live. He's given you the gifts, the abilities to live the kind of life he wants you to live, to do what he wants you to do. Now, as you progress in your life, the Lord opens up certain doors of opportunity to you, and he leads you down certain paths, brings your life into a certain place, and he's got something in mind for you. Now, if you trust him, he'll take you on through. But sometimes we get to a point where we get a little cold feet, and it looks like it's going to be too much sacrifice, too much giving up of self, perhaps. But we turn away from what God has given. I've seen that quite a few times, where people have felt God call them to do something, want them to do it, and he seems to prosper them along a certain way, and then things get tight. It looks like there's a stone wall, and they turn back. I remember a situation here not too long ago where on every front, everything was really seemed to be, well, we seemed to be up against a brick wall. Well, in another figure, our backs were against the wall. Just everything was shut down. So many different areas, there were troubles, problems. So I said to someone that was there with me, I said, look, our backs are against the wall. There's only one thing to do. That's to move on out. Keep going. It just looked like there was no way. Well, in fact, we put up the other figure. We had come up against a brick wall. There seemed no way. And I said, there's only one thing to do. Go through the wall. We'll just go right on through. So we got back and gave a good run and went right on. But that very day that I said this, we had some prayer about it. And there were a half a dozen things that were just, you know, things that were flat against us. That very day, I think everything that was against us melted away. With a just complete victory over everything we went on through. We just gave a run right at the wall, and it just seemed to part in front of us. I've been in that position many times. If you know God has given you a job to do, if you know He's led you down a certain way, you know that, and you come up against opposition, there's only one thing to do, go forward. Like Moses at the Red Sea. Here's the sea in front of them, the Egyptians behind them, cliffs on each side of them. They were hemmed in. Only one thing to do, plunge into the sea and go on. In other words, if you will, from the very beginning of your life, set yourself to do what God wants, no matter what anything else, anybody else does, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what the circumstances look like, you do what God tells you to do, and He'll see you through it. Made up my mind a long time ago never to judge God's presence on the basis of circumstances. I would not use financial situations or physical situations to determine whether or not God was with me. I found that out before I started out into a certain project. If I believe this is what the Lord wanted me to do, then I just go ahead. If everything collapses down around your head, you go on anyway. If you lose everything, including your shirt, you go on anyway. Because I found out from painful experience that if the Lord opens up a door to you and you don't go through it, it's going to close down, and later on you may try to open it, it's not going to open. You better do what He tells you to do, because things happen that change the whole picture. The Lord has a life for each of us to live. The life He has for us to live may not be satisfactory to anybody else. They may not agree with it or whatever. But if you just be open to the Lord, He's going to lead you along step by step. Now, if your heart is open, you may make some mistakes. That's all right. He'll forgive you for that. You may have difficulty finding the way. It isn't that you don't want to do what He wants, but you may make a wrong turn or something, and He brings you back on the track again. That's all right. See? As long as you have in your heart the desire to do what God wants you to do, and you take the experiences that you have in stride, you let all these experiences be part of your life portion, accept it in the name of Christ, and just go on day by day, the Lord will bring you through your life having accomplished in you what He wants you to do. And it doesn't matter what circumstances may look like to you or what anybody else around you says. You do what God wants, and He'll see you through. I've been more or less following this kind of a thing for quite a few years. And I have to say to you, it works. Have I made a mistake? A lot of them. Sure, I've made mistakes. But the Lord's still with us, you see. And nothing else really matters after all. So if those children of Israel had forgotten about the giants, just went on into the land, it would have been all right. But now, because they turned back, God closed the shop down. He closed the door on them. And they wanted to go in, but then He wouldn't let them, except for two, Caleb and Joshua. Now, Caleb and Joshua didn't go in and fight either, but they wanted to. It was the circumstance that kept them from it that they couldn't do anything about, of course. Well, we're going to move on a little bit here because I'm just trying to pick up threads because we missed a little bit here. And you remember, of course, that God turned them back into the wilderness, and most of the rest of the book of Deuteronomy has to do, or rather not most of the rest of the book, I say a number of the chapters have to do with more of their wandering out there in the wilderness. But Between chapters 5 and chapter 26, Moses gives a restatement of the law, picking up certain particular aspects of it and expanding on them a bit. I told you before, that's why the book is called Deuteronomy. It means the second law. But now we'll go into the third chapter. Once they got their feet under them, and now they paid their price, and God forgave them, and even though they were roundly defeated in their own promised land, God still stayed with them when they decided to just take their licking. They went out into the wilderness, and they wandered around for a few years, but they took their licking, and now God is with them. So chapter 3, then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. Now, that only illustrates what goes on in many other of the chapters here, that once they had paid their penalty, and they got back together with God, now, even though they were out in the wilderness, God was still with them every step of the way. You learn this lesson throughout all of the Bible, that if God is with you, you can overcome anything. If he's not with you, you're kidding yourself. We'd like to be independent from God sometimes, but we can't be. If God is with you in what you're doing, you'll prosper. You'll be all right. Not necessarily always materially, but you'll be at peace and your life will run along pretty good. But if God is not with you, no matter how clever you may be or how strong you may be, or whatever, you're not going to make it without God. Well, you might make $1 million, but you're not going to do anything with your life but be miserable. Now, I have to say to you that Satan will bring every kind of circumstance to bear on you to discourage you from going on in your life. I see you people here in the room. You have Christ with you. You've taken him into your heart. You're going along. So you're following Christ. You're doing the best you can. You've got problems. You have your struggles and your wrestlings and so forth. But the Lord is with you. So just keep going on. And when circumstances come in to discourage you, just take it as part of the course of life and keep going on. The worst thing you can do when circumstances get rough, I mean, they begin to look like they're against you. The worst thing you can do is turn away from the Lord. But a lot of people do that. They kind of back away from the Lord and they say, well, I guess I'm not very good after all, and I don't think the Lord wants me, and all that sort of baloney. You see, well, that's just what Satan wants you to do. You make up your mind that come hell or high water, excuse the expression there, you're going to go on through. You're going on through. Your friends may hate you, your enemies may hate you, everybody hates you. At one time or another, somebody's always got it in for you. I found that in my life. One time or another, somebody's always got it in for you. No matter how hard you try to do the job and do it right and please the Lord and please people, somebody's always got it in for you. But you don't bother with that. You keep going anyway. And circumstances kind of get crossways and things look bad, but you keep going anyway. Just let the roof cave in on top of your head. Just put the beams on your shoulder and keep going, see? Let him worry about working out all the details. You leave a lot of wreckage behind you. I know, I've been through it. But you still make mistakes. But you keep going. kind of reminds me of the, some of you may have seen that picture, the Around the World in 80 Days, was it? And they start out in grand style to go around the world on this dare. The fellow's club members and the club he belonged to put up the money, and they had quite a sizable wager about whether he could get around the world in 80 days or not. It's a classic movie. This fellow starts out to get around the world in 80 days. Well, as you, if any of you saw the story, you know that by the time he finally made it back to London, he was coming in pretty close to totally destitute. Even the ship that he hired to get across the ocean, they had to tear it apart and use it to burn in the boilers, burn in the fireboxes to keep the ship running across the sea. So he came into London absolutely destitute, but ultimately won his bet. Now, by the time we get through with this life, we're pretty battered. Satan just hammers on us and batters us, and we may get through by the skin of our teeth. But if God is with you, you're going to go through. The first thing to determine is, all right, Lord, am I tonight, am I now in the way that you want me to be? Probably you are. Probably if you weren't, you wouldn't be interested even in coming to this meeting. Sometimes difficult to get here. But generally speaking, the people's heart is to come and hear the word. We don't worry about an occasional miss. I miss sometimes myself. But the heart of the people that come to this Bible class is to follow God. There's no other reason to come, because what we have to offer you is not very exciting. It's just the word of God. So in a way, that's a good indicator to you that the Spirit of Christ is with you. Now, just say, well, from this point, whatever things have been in the past, from this point, I want to be sure that God is with me, and I'm going to just keep going. Just keep going on with God. And I'm not going to let Satan throw me with a lot of this false deterrent. You see, Satan tries to give you a detour, you see, so he can get you into his clutches. But don't let him give you the detour. Just go right on through. Now, in a practical sense, what does it mean? It means that every day of your life, you get out there and you say, now, Lord, I want to do today what you want. And you talk to the Lord and you keep going. Whatever it is that you've got in your hand to do, do it. Do it for Christ's sake, not for anybody else's sake, because nobody else will really appreciate it that much. But Christ will appreciate it, and you do it for his sake. And don't let Satan discourage you with anything. Even if he takes away all you have, which he may do, he has a way of wiping people out. And God lets him, because God has something more important that he wants out of us than our possessions. So I want you just to take that word tonight. And say this. That if you're doing what in your heart you believe God wants you to do, everything will work out all right no matter how bad it looks now. Just keep that principle in your head, and you'll do well. The whole thing of life, you know, is struggle. If you're struggling, then welcome to the club. Everybody's struggling. You're going to struggle all your life. We had a maxim that we gave to, something we gave the boys up there at the Navy base yesterday. I think I may have used it here. You're always going to be wrestling all your life in a way. I've said that the wrestling is the reality, and the reality is the wrestling. In other words, if you're wrestling, that's what it's all about. That is, life is a fight. People can say all they want about the peace of Jesus and everything else, but I tell you, Jesus himself didn't have much peace on the earth, and neither did Paul or Peter or any of those fellows. They had peace in their hearts, but not in their circumstances. It was a struggle. It was a struggle for Paul. He said, the good that I would, I do not. The things that I don't want to do, I do. It was a struggle for Paul right up to the end of his life. And that's the great proof. The struggle itself is the proof that you're with God. But the issue of Christianity is not to get all the obstacles out of the way so you can live your life. It is day by day to handle the obstacles, to struggle with them. That's what the name of the game is, struggling. Like the football team I've talked to you about. But the name of the game is struggle, contest, conflict, getting that ball across the goal line. But if the fellows got out there in the field and their whole attention was given to try to get the other team off the field so they could make some touchdowns, they wouldn't be playing the game right. What if every guy on the team each went for the other guy not to try to get the ball through, but to kill him, get him out of the road? A lot of Christians feel that way. They want to get all the obstacles out of the way so they can go on and enjoy a nice life in Christ. Now, that's not the name of the game. The name of the game is fight, struggle, contest, conflict. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words tonight. May the Spirit of Christ use them to his glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.